Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and you shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Zerubbabel represents the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see the plumb line again in verse 9 and verse 10. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. So, take note of the two typology, both representation of Jesus Christ. Joshua in his first coming, Zerubbabel in his second coming. Now, Zerubbabel in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, is mentioned. Haggai chapter 2. And you notice the twofold message. It says here in verse 2, speak now to Zerubbabel. We're in Haggai chapter 2, verse 2. The son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw the temple in its former glory? How do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Then he says in verse 5, according to the word that I covenant with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. And then there is all these promises of God. In verse 7, I will shake all the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. It came to pass in Herod's temple, which was basically a renovation of this temple that they built. Then Jesus Christ, the desire of nations, stood in the temple. The glory was greater than Solomon's temple, because Jesus said the greater than Solomon is here. Now the key to Zerubbabel, as we have mentioned, was in Zechariah. Zerubbabel is associated with the two olive trees. Do you notice the two olive trees? In chapter 4, Zechariah saw two olive trees with the lampstand and the seven lamps on the lampstand. Now the two olive trees in verse 11 says, what are these two olive trees? One on the right side of the lampstand, the other on the left. And it says in verse 14, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. Now there is a literal fulfillment. The literal fulfillment is that the two anointed ones can represent in Haggai's time the two key leaders, Zerubbabel and Joshua. Then you have the eschatological fulfillment, which is in two areas. The eschatological fulfillment for number one, the church. Number two, the nation of Israel. And you will find something interesting here in chapter 4. Why should Zerubbabel be related to the two lampstands? And, I mean, the lampstand and the two olive trees. You see, even though Zerubbabel was not actually seen in that vision, in verse 3 and 4, the question was asked, who are these two olive trees? Instead of speaking about the olive tree at once, in verse 6 and 7, the angel talked about Zerubbabel and grace and the power of the Spirit, which tells you that Zerubbabel is related in those two areas. Now let's look at the two olive trees for a moment. The two olive trees got two eschatological fulfillment. Eschatological fulfillment, number one, is that the two olive trees represent the church and Israel as a nation. And for that eschatological fulfillment, the picture is given in the book of Romans, where the church and Israel are seen as two different olives that are joined together. The Gentiles as the olive branch joined to the original olive tree. Chapter 11 of Romans, verse 17. If some of the branches were broken off, And you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them. With them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. So eschatological fulfillment number one, the two olive trees can represent one of the tree, the nation of Israel, the other tree, the church. Eschatological fulfillment number two, the book of Revelation chapter 11, verse 4. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. Verse 5. If anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And it tells us in verse 6 what they have done in the days of their prophecy. Second eschatological fulfillment of the two olive tree is that the two olive trees represent the two witnesses that will arise in the tribulation days of the Antichrist. One of them is known to be Elijah. The other, there are many who are speculating, and we will touch on that perhaps when we reach the book of Revelation, is some people say the candidacy goes to Enoch. Some think it's Moses. And recently I heard something is John the Baptist, which is quite unlikely. But this represents what I call the two last day witness to confront the Antichrist as given in Revelation 11. So bearing that in mind, we come back to Haggai with that background, and we understand here that Zerubbabel is linked to the two olive branches, and Zerubbabel himself can personify the coming of the Lord for the church and the coming of the Lord for Israel, which is in two types. Which is why in chapter 2 of the book of Haggai, there are certain blessings that are promised to Zerubbabel. Verse 5, it says, "My spirit remains among you." And then it says, "Thus says the Lord, once more I will shake the earth." Now there is going to be a shaking that will come, and there is going to be a revival that will come that will shake the earth before the rapture, the first time. Then the second time is mentioned in verse 21-22. "Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth, I'll overthrow the throne of kingdoms, I'll destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms, I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them, the horses and the riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, in that day," now we know Zerubbabel is now prophetic, because Zerubbabel won't be alive eschatologically. "So in that day I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, and will take you, make you as a signet ring, for I have chosen you." Now the signet ring usually has a link to royalty and kingdom. The signet ring is, and so we realize that it's a restoration of the nation of Israel. So there is a twofold shaking and a twofold revival in the last days. Haggai is bringing it forth eschatologically. The first is the revival of the church that will at the same time bring a shaking all over the nations of the world. There will be the rise of the church age. And we have here in the book of Hebrews, let's substantiate with some New Testament scriptures, as we draw near to the coming of Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, now he's not talking about the nation of Israel now, he's talking about the church in Hebrews 12. He says here in verse 22, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn." Notice that. And so when he's talking about the church here, he says in verse 25-26, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks, For if they did not escape or refuse him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now the yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God accordingly, acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Now, do not be afraid of the shaking that is predicted by Haggai. Because the receiving of the kingdom, which is why Jesus said the kingdom of God is taken by violence, the receiving of the kingdom and the rise of the church will be accompanied by vibrations in the spirit world that may vibrate into the natural world. That's the first shaking. There are actually two shakings. So the first is mentioned in Haggai chapter 2 in the first section. In verse 7 he says, I will shake all nations, and what's the reason? They will come to the desire of all nations. So the first part of the prophecy of Haggai is for the church. The first interpretation of the two olive branches. The church. They will come to Jesus. There will be a worldwide revival. That's what Haggai prophesied. Before Jesus comes. And then what is this shaking? But then there is the second shaking that is different in verse 21-22. Do you notice? The second shaking ends with judgment. And that second shaking comes at the end of the tribulation period. When Jesus Christ comes to rescue the Jews, the Jewish nation, from the Antichrist at the end of the 7 years. And when he comes in the other shaking, he says, the heaven and the earth is shaken, and he overthrow the throne of kingdoms. And that's when the kingdom of Israel is rescued and restored by God. So there are these what I call two-part eschatological fulfillment, which we find in the book of Haggai. And it's a short book, but next week when we look at the book of Zechariah, we will relate a bit here again on Haggai, because remember, both go concurrently. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We ask, O God, that you would establish your work in each life. And we thank you for the prophecy, Lord, of Haggai. And we know, O God, that your people need not be afraid of the shaking predicted in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Because we know that it's in that shaking that those things that need to be shaken will be shaken, Lord. Those things that are not established, O God, in the realm of your spirit will be shaken, O God. So we know, O God, that the closer we come unto you, that revival is a vibration that comes all over the world. So that they would, just as they came to the Apostle Paul and said, these are the men who have turned the world upside down. So in the same way, O Lord, the Apostle Paul caused, O God, an uproar, Lord, in the spirit realm and bring many to redemption. So we know, O Father God, that in the spirit world, when spiritual revival comes, O God, there will be so much, Lord, turning away from sin. So much, O Lord, turning away from rebellion. So much turning away from the things of the devil to the things of God. So much commitment to you, O God. It will be a holy fire, O God, that will come upon your people. And we praise you and we thank you, O God, that you establish your purposes in the church age. We thank you for what Haggai predicts in the eschatological perspective, Lord. And we know, O God, we can see that the last day revival, it's not just a revival of restoration, but a last day revival is a earth-shaking revival. And we want to thank you, Lord, that as we obey you, we can be a part of your last day move. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all rise together. And let's sing that song, It Is the Time to Take the Kingdom.
It is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, be strong, is Christ's command. For every power and dominion is given now into your hands. Ye that have ears to hear the trumpet, ye that have hearts to understand, it is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, be strong, possess the land.
Praise God, give Jesus a clap offering. Those of you who need further ministry, we'll meet you over there on the right side. Good night. God bless you.
Amen.